Hey guys, and welcome to episode 196 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, this episode is a bit different. It's not specifically OCD focused, but I wanted to do a few more episodes on other things people can do if they feel like it as part of their recovery. So one initiative I came across is sort of mental health gardening, and one specific project in West London in the UK is called Mind Food. Now, Mind Food run courses for to help people improve mental well-being. So as their website says, nature-based courses for anxiety and depression. So they do these kind of six-week growing well-being courses where they take people with different mental health conditions and they help them through gardening and community and kind of connection with nature, and they bring in various things like mindfulness into that. So I was fascinated by this model, and they also run, so anyone can come along on the weekend and take part. And I went along to do some gardening, which I thoroughly enjoyed, kind of getting my hands dirty, you know, learning how to grow things, which is something I've never been great at. So that was great to kind of build that skill, to just chat with others where there's no pressure, and just have that community. And then after, have some tea and some food that had been grown in the garden, like a watermelon, and we had mint tea. So that was really cool to kind of have that connection to nature and the earth. So I wanted to do an episode just to explore this. One, if there's any mental health gardening initiatives near you. I know there's a few in the UK, and maybe there's others in the States, Canada, Sweden, wherever you're listening to this. If there's not, maybe it's something you could be inspired to maybe start one up. Who knows, if you really enjoy that sort of thing. Or just as an episode to just maybe spend more time in nature if they want to, whether that's walks in nature, whether that's doing gardening in your own garden or someone else's. There's many opportunities to volunteer in this world. I'm sure many people need gardeners, but whatever it is, hopefully this episode kind of inspires you if you're wanting to spend more time in nature. So firstly, I interview Lucy Clark, and we recorded this outdoors, so you may hear other background noises. And Lucy Clark is a project manager for Mind Food, and I ask her all about this initiative, these types of mental health gardening initiatives, what are some of the benefits for it, what people may experience if they do it. Then I interview Jess, and Jess has been on the podcast before. She has actually interviewed Chrissy, so she was a guest host a while ago, so you probably heard that one. And Jess has done mental health gardening at a different project, which is down on the south coast of England. And she just talks about, from her experience having OCD and what that was like, being around others with different diagnoses, you know, getting her hands dirty, learning to grow stuff, and how that helped in her recovery alongside her CBT treatment for her OCD. So yeah, without further ado, I hope you enjoy it. I hope it inspires you. And here is Lucy, and then following Lucy will be Jess.
Mind Food is a not-for-profit that runs nature-based courses that support people to manage and improve their mental well-being. With me is Lucy Clark, who is a food and well-being grower at Mind Food. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Hi.
It's good to have you on. And I always like to hear people's stories. So in this case, it could be your own mental health story or your story with Mind Food.
Yes, well, I discovered Mind Food about 4 years ago. I'd been working for 17 years in the same job. I was doing food product development, so working on new products to go into a supermarket. And, you know, first 15 years, super enjoying it, thriving on all the stress and the deadlines. And then the last 2 years, clearly, my brain had had enough. I burnt myself out once and worked was super kind about the whole thing. Yeah. And then I went and did it all over again. So I thought, right, this time I've really got to take notice. So I thought before going back to work, I would try some volunteering. And I found a little project called Mind Food that had just come to Ealing. And it was all about food growing and help with stress and depression. And I thought, that could be the thing. And within 3 weeks of coming to Mind Food, I just decided decided I never wanted to work inside ever again. And so I guess I'm a bit of a nature evangelist, because I just, it was such a revelation to me. And so I started training in gardening and social and therapeutic horticulture, which is helping people with gardening. And yeah, the rest is history. So I've been doing the food and wellbeing grower job for a couple of years, and it has been amazing. I just meet so many interesting people. I think the good thing about busy thinkers is they've always got plenty to say and really interesting things to say, so it's been great.
Absolutely. And you know, I've partook today in the gardening, and you know, I found it very easy to get on with everyone, to get on with you, and you made it easy, which obviously coming to someone like this, especially someone with anxiety, it's potentially going to be scary, but you made it not scary.
It's a funny thing, because I think nature does an amazing job for just, I mean, particularly it's so beautiful. It's just such a beautiful day today as well. But generally, that gives us a bit of a head start. People are feeling like, oh, it's not that bad after all. Because for a lot of people that come to Mind Food, just that first step out of the house is really the biggest step.
That's true.
And I can remember what I was like when I first came. And then I think what's really exciting is that people instantly find quite a lot in common. Because first of all, they realise that they're not that different from everybody else. They say one in four people in the UK will struggle with some sort of mental health difficulty in a year. In London, it's one in two are more anxious than they feel comfortable with. So I always say, when you come here, chances are you're going to feel pretty normal, actually, because you're just one of a growing band of us that are honest about the way we feel, which is sometimes not that great. So I think generally people, you know, you're doing the gardening, so you've got a common purpose, and you're all just understanding of how it feels when your brain's not doing what you want it to. I think that's how it goes, really.
Thank you for that. That's great. And you obviously describe what Mind Food is, but just in a bit more detail, anything you can share about what you do here?
So what we do is we run a kind of program of courses. So we have a six-session course called Growing Wellbeing, and we take about 10 minutes at the beginning of each session to cover a well-being theme. So that might be the five ways to well-being. I don't know if you've ever heard of those, the five ways. So they're the habits of people who consider they've got good well-being. So they're things that people do naturally to feel a bit better. So we have a little look at those. Then we do things like mindfulness and more formal mindfulness, like a guided meditation. So we do a bit of that. We do well-being planning, where you look at your day and see how you can balance the ups and downs. A bit about nutrition and about your brain as an ecosystem, which is quite a good one. And then we all go off to Kew for a nice free visit to the gardens. And people learn it. We spend most of the sessions just doing gardening. Always make time for a nice cup of tea, and people just generally come here as, I mean, one of the girls who is here today, she said, this is like my happy place, which is so sweet. But actually people really use it as an escape, because you know, even when they've had a rubbish week, they know that, you know, they can either talk about it or not, and that's fine, really. So it is a nice thing to be involved with, because there's lots of good stories.
Absolutely. I love that.
Basically, once they've done the six sessions, then they can come on doing and do growing with us just for as long as they like.
Cool.
In a sort of more informal plot to plate course. And then we also look at goal setting in a course that we call sustainable well-being. And goal setting is such a hideous word, because it's so work related. So really it's like the anti-goal, because it's a goal that's all about you and about making people prioritize their own well-being. And actually there are very few moments in life where you're forced to put yourself first. And actually generally people who come to see us are incredibly hard on themselves. So quite often conversations will be around, did you get to your goal? No. Was there, you know, say for example, somebody said they're going to try and get to bed earlier every night, but some old friend came to stay for three nights, so they didn't manage to do it. That's not a reason to beat yourself up about not doing a goal. That's a fantastic excuse and probably needs celebrating. So, yeah, generally it's not a sort of grueling, have you done it sort of thing. It's just a bit of fun, really.
cool. Yeah. Thank you. And I guess, why was it started?
So it's a project that's evolved. So it started about 8 years ago. And originally it started up in Amersham, so out of town. And it was growing on a sort of more traditional farm. And it was growing for to sell produce on the market. And it was about helping people with severe and enduring mental illness to have a productive day. And so they did that for a while, but actually it was quite a tall order, moving everybody out to the countryside to do a day's growing and then get everybody back in. And actually we realized that there was a more immediate need to help people with common mental health difficulties like stress and anxiety and depression, burnout, and so that's really what we focused on. It means that you get to see people on a journey, which I think is quite gratifying as well.
That's true.
But actually we're incredibly inclusive, so we still do we've had people who've come to us for six sessions if they've got learning difficulties. We've had people recovering from stroke. We've had people who are completely deaf. We had a couple of deaf people and blind people. So basically the idea is we can find a way for you to garden and enjoy nature. That's our responsibility. All you have to do is come here and enjoy it. So it's nice to see such a mix of people all the time. And I think good for everybody else.
I love that. And you've listed some benefits, but it'd be good just to hear whether it's what you notice or what people have said to you about what they really kind of get from it.
Well, I think the first thing is people are really struck by how non-judgmental we are, which is it's worrying, actually. And actually, before I joined my course, I was worried that people weren't really talking about mental health, and I was also worried it was going to be a big sort of therapy session where I'd have to delve a lot into my own thinkings, and that's not really the point. So people just like that they can just come and be themselves, and they love just learning about gardening in a very informal way. And I think what I've really noticed is as people kind of tune into nature, they get more and more involved in it. And so a lot of the people that started off just doing one of the sessions, they actually might end up doing three or four sessions a week with us, so almost accelerating their well-being. And then some of them are branching out into more artistic and creative endeavors and finding new hobbies and things to get involved in. And so that's another big thing is just, I guess, there's no pressure on anybody to become best friends on day one or anything. That sounds hideous. But people do develop friendships over time. And, that's rewarding for loads of reasons. Generally people just like no pressure to do anything. If people just want to sit and just be here and have a cup of tea, frankly, I'm not, that set on getting people to do huge amounts of hard work. I mean, there's plenty of that out in the real world. The biggest step for people is getting out of the house. And isolation is a big problem. So generally, mind food is about, whether you're bereaved or you've become isolated or you've been long-term unemployed or if you're a refugee. Actually, at the point at which you're feel able to make that first step back into the community, this is a very good place to start because, it just helps you adjust and practice your social skills in a completely unpressurized environment. And what we find about gardening is as you're pottering away, it's quite easy to have very informal conversations with people. It's quite a big thing to, look into somebody's eyes and have a, full-blown conversation. I don't know. I know they say that that's the best way to have a genuine conversation, but I don't know about you, but it just terrifies me to, sustained eye contact. Anyway.
As we're doing now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I'm literally just making myself anxious just doing that. But yes, it's just, it just means that there's no pressure, really. They say that, for example, the best time to have a chat with children is in the car when you're both looking forward. And it's a little bit like that when you're gardening. If you're busy doing the weeding or planting or something, it's just enough of a distraction probably just to be the real you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I definitely felt that today. And something else I noticed for me personally was I think I had this narrative in my head of I'm bad with gardening. You know, I spend a lot of time in nature, but as a gardener, I just have this belief that I kill things. Or
I tell you, so, supermarket herb plants, they've got a lot to answer for. Because they just,
they die pretty quickly.
They die really quickly. Yeah. And they just leave people with a feeling that they can't do gardening. And you only need to look around you to see how well, generally, nature does when it's just left alone.
Yeah.
So, frankly, unless you're going to go out of your way to mess it all up, which there are also plenty of people who are, you know, happy to do. Generally, you know, nature's a pretty forgiving thing in terms of contact and involvement. So, yeah, so for us, it's just about having a bit of a play. I mean, when I discovered gardening, I realised that I got exactly the same feeling as when I was probably about 5 or 6 and pottering around the garden, making mud pies.
Yeah.
You sort of feeling like you've got your own little purpose, but it doesn't really matter, you know, outside of the garden, and it's exactly the same.
That's true.
So, yeah, so I guess it's really mostly about just getting people to have a go. So quite often we'll try growing vegetables that, you know, we've never tried before. So we saw sweet potatoes growing in Kew Gardens. We thought, anything Kew can do.
Yeah.
And so we've had a go at those in the polytunnel. And as you saw today, we cut open our first watermelon, which is a little
delicious.
Bit of excitement. But yeah, literally it's seeing how things grow. And I've no idea how it's going to be when we dig up those sweet potatoes. It's, it sounds like you've got a lot of American listeners. And
do we do, yeah.
We just, I guess we don't do much sweet potato growing in the UK. And
no.
So there's going to be a little bit of a journey of discovery for us. And so, yeah. But yes, and also finding and foraging things to eat has been quite fun. Occasionally we'll go up onto the hill and see what we can find. We've hosted some fairly popular foraging sessions.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, just keeping people alert and learning something new, because you can never know it all.
No, that's true. And I think we just had tea just now after sort of an hour and a half of work, and you put the fresh mint in that you'd grown here, and the watermelon that had been grown, and you're just more connected to what you're consuming. It's not just something you picked off a shelf.
One thing that we found is that people who come to Mind Food, it's generally because they're already eating quite mindfully, because they're wondering where their veg has come from, or at least are a little bit interested to see, you know, how it appears. And it does lead to a lot of food conversations. I mean, there's a lot of recipe swapping that happens, and there's generally, you know, food around and to be savoured, whether we've bought it, made it, dug it up. So that's quite good. So I guess it's just another common subject for people.
Yeah. No, absolutely. All right, what's next on my... So I guess, how can people support Mind Food?
So I guess, in terms of supporting it, I would say it'd be great if you came onto our Facebook page and liked us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very lucky, actually, because we're funded by Ealing Council.
Oh, cool.
We've got a big, a 4-year community grant where we report in all of our outcomes, and in our 6-session course, we measure people's well-being with a recognised scale.
Yeah.
And then the participants do that again at the end of the 6 weeks, and we're able to demonstrate that we're making a difference.
Yeah.
So that we're very, very lucky to have that. And we've got several other funders as well.
Mm.
We're soon to become a charity, so people
will
be able to, donate.
And stuff. Yeah.
And, in terms of supporting, yes, just like us on Facebook and Twitter, and we've got Mind Food participants, we've recently kind of recruited two of them, one to be another food grower and to run sessions, and also a program support coordinator, and she is a social media whiz, a natural one that doesn't recoil from it like I do. And Instagram, we'll all be over.
Nice.
Be all over Instagram. And if anybody wants to get in touch, and they're in the well, basically in London. We don't just narrow ourselves down to Ealing Borough, because until we're massively oversubscribed, we'd rather just help anybody who's interested in coming along.
Yeah.
So, and then it's just a matter of getting in touch with us at info@mindfood.org.uk, and I'll be at the other end of the email, so nobody needs to worry about that. Ideally, it's great to get a telephone number, because then I can kind of break the ice. Generally, people will, if they're given our telephone number, they'll never pick
no
them. I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't either, yeah.
And so what normally happens is I'll give somebody a call, and obviously they won't answer the phone because it's a number they don't recognise. And I wouldn't ever do that either. So so then it sort of turns into, you know, I leave a message, I'll back it up with a text message, and gradually we'll get a kind of texty conversation going until the stage where we can actually have a phone conversation. So quite a lot of work goes in up front to just make people feel like they know someone already at the other end.
Yeah.
And then we always make sure we give people lots of directions, although I feel like we need a bigger banner at the front gate to stop people disappearing off with local running groups and that sort of thing.
There's a couple of us did, cool, no, thank you for that. I mean, the reason for doing this is, A, even if people can't get to this one, I know there's more and more of these initiatives popping up.
Absolutely, and I would say... if you look out for community gardens in your area, although you know, you might not be getting any sort of formalised support, it's a brilliant way of supporting, of basically borrowing somebody else's green space.
That's true.
In a generally very supportive project.
Yeah,
you'll. People who get involved in community projects are generally very welcoming and are keen to share their. Knowledge and experience and sort of welcome you in. So I guess it's a little bit kind of going with the flow, really.
Yeah.
And just take a plunge. And we're always very keen to say to people, just give it a go. If you don't like it, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just another thing. The important thing is to keep on trying different things. And it might be that if you try one community garden and you're not made to feel... You don't feel super welcome, well, just find another community garden.
Yeah.
Because there will be the garden for you. And the more at home you feel in green surroundings, the more you'll, you know, be able to participate in, you know, conversations and activities. Yeah. And, you know, that just has a ripple effect, really. And, it'll take you places you never thought you'd go. Plus, you get a ton of free stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah, free food.
One of the things that we like doing, I mean, we do free veg.
Yeah.
People get to take that home. But also, you know, if a weed in somebody's garden could be a beautiful flower in your garden. So, you know, there's usually, or maybe, I mean, we say horseradish is incredibly invasive, so we're generally digging up tons of that. That could make your Sunday lunch one day, with your roast beef or your your baked potato or whatever. So there's usually, you know, something going around. And particularly, you know, life is so expensive in cities, just to get the odd bit of free stuff people find disproportionately rewarding.
That's very true. Cool. Well, thank you for talking about that. I have two more generic questions now.
Okay.
So if you could pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Oh, my God. Just stop trying so hard. I used to take myself so, so seriously. I feel sorry for myself, actually. Because I was incredibly conscientious. I was really studious at school.
Yeah.
I think I had classic middle child syndrome.
Okay.
Even though my parents couldn't have been fairer, but apparently we all, you know, tried desperately hard to, you know, conform. And I just was really, really studious. But I think even at quite an early age, I was very, just was always very stressed and sort of distracted and. I don't know, I just couldn't sort of settle. And I do love learning, so part of it probably was me driving myself a whole lot as well. But if I'd got gardening then, I think it would be, or tried mindfulness then, that would be brilliant. Because actually you only need to do 10 minutes of mindfulness a day to feel like you're on top of the day.
Yeah.
And, or for me anyway, and that could have saved me so much aggro.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about... you know, just banishing stigma. The stigma wasn't really about mental health, but for under 30s, it's about trying gardening.
Yeah.
That's the real stigma we're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is having a go at gardening. So, but yes, I, you know, I wouldn't have been able to contemplate gardening at the age of 20. I would have been appalled. So I don't think
that's
I would have listened
to
myself.
Yeah. It's either farmers or old age pensioners.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, now revel in it.
It's something my granddad used to do.
Yes. Yeah. And actually we find that, particularly people who come from outside London or outside the UK, they have a much closer connection with nature because they come from more rural or agricultural backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so it's a much more obvious shortcut to feeling better for people than, you know, if they've lived in London their whole life, really. I think in London you tend to feel like you have to choose between city and nature.
Yeah.
But one of the projects I've been involved in is the campaign to make London a national park city. I don't know if
cool.
you've ever heard
no.
about that. So officially we're a national park city now. And it's a campaign that recognised that London's 47% green.
Oh, wow.
And yet when you ask people what the colour of London is, they'll all say grey. Yeah. And so the difference must be just slowing down and looking,
going in search of these places,
so seeking them out, and you know there is tons. So so there's just slowing down. So that's how I would I would have told myself, just cut yourself some slack, sit on a bench, lap up the green.
Love it. Okay, and then last question is, you've got a billboard in Ealing, let's say. What do you want written on it?
Oh my word, it could be a very long silence, could be a very busy billboard. I think there is something about practice stopping, or you know, when was the last time you stopped? Or I don't know, I'm not very billboardy, I guess. I'm more of a foundation layer, sort of slink into the shadows. I don't know. For Mind Food, I think one of our biggest things to communicate is that we're free. We've got no waiting list at all. And why would you wait to feel better? Well, you know, what's stopping you, really? And I, beyond that, I don't know. I literally would be picking people off the pavement and say, come and do some green stuff. Billboards, I guess we haven't really contemplated billboards. It's not really in our budget.
No. Not yet. Thank you. And is there anything like parting words that you wish you could have said that I haven't asked you?
I don't think so. I think when I was invited to do this, which I never said thank you so much inviting me, I was wondering about, you know, I don't know the hugest amount about OCD and it intrigues me, and the whole sort of anxiety sort of aspect. I guess I understand anxiety pretty well, and there's obviously a huge amount of anxiety involved in
there
OCD. And again, I can only think that it's the sort of common ground is helping people slow down. But I'd be very interested to find out more about projects. So you've got a sort of camp thing, which I just think sounds amazing, although I cannot imagine, as somebody who, you know, until a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been able to imagine camping myself. So, it's a bit intriguing. It sounds a really, you know, exciting project to get involved with. I don't think so. So it's been brilliant to have you over. And you've, you know, I don't mind admitting that I was a little bit nervous about being interviewed, and you've also made me feel very at home. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure. And thank you for your hospitality today. Welcome back to the show, Jess.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on again. And obviously you interviewed Chrissy, I think, the last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah.
Cool. It was. I'll link in the show notes to that. So obviously got you on to talk about mental health gardening. When did you start doing some of that?
I started gardening quite a while ago. I used to do it, to be honest, when I was a kid, I used to do it with my nan a lot. So I have a lot of like good memories of gardening. And then I think, when I sort of moved back into a house that had a garden, maybe like 5 years ago, we sort of built a vegetable patch and a greenhouse. So I started growing like things from seed and really enjoyed that. And then I got quite poorly last year and kind of stopped doing my own gardening. And then I was, at home a lot, wasn't working, and my friends were sort of trying to find things that would help me in my recovery and sort of get back on my feet and start doing activities again. And one thing they found was something called ecotherapy, which is a centre down in Brighton, which is close to where I live. And you basically can go there and do anything you like anything you feel you're able to, like any sort of gardening, weeding, planting. And the idea behind it is that there are other people with mental health difficulties there. And the sort of aim of the whole project is to promote recovery and also like community, social inclusion. And then there are volunteers there that are sort of trained in supporting people with mental health. Yeah, so that's how I recently got back into gardening.
Nice, thank you. What's your experience of being at it? I guess, you know, the first time you went and then, you know, after being there for a few months.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I went, I was mentally in a very dark place. I was very suicidal at the time, so it was really hard to make that first step to go. Like, I didn't want to leave the house, I didn't want to talk to anyone, I didn't want to see anyone. But I'd kind of got to this point where I knew I had to do something, and it was quite nice because it was away from where I live, so you know, there wasn't much chance of me like bumping into anyone that I knew, and it was something completely different. No one knew me, no one knew my past, no one knew my problems. You know, you had no pressure to like talk about anything or tell them anything. You literally just turn up and garden. And I've forgotten your question. What was your question?
It was just about the first time you went and then...
So the first time I was really anxious and a bit sort of reluctant to do it. But I'm really glad I went. It was very, like, very welcoming, and it was kind of the... atmosphere was very relaxed. Like, it was one lady who sort of introduced me just to this little like plot that we had. It wasn't overwhelming. She didn't sort of go around and like introduce everyone. There was no pressure like to, you know, talk to anyone else at that point. It was more about, she was focused on me and, you know, something that I could do to keep my mind busy and to sort of ground myself. So anxious at first, but quite quickly settled in. Just started doing some really basic weeding, digging. Didn't sort of talk to many people at first. And then on that same session, because how the sessions were structured is we did a few hours of gardening, and then we'd harvest some of the fruit or veg or whatever from that season. And then we'd do have like a fire and make sort of like a soup or a stew or something. That day I then stayed for lunch and then sort of got talking to a few people. And yeah, it was nice because I felt like I might have to talk about my experience, what was going on, but there was just no pressure around that at all. It was literally about where you are right now, what you're doing, and then just talking about the food and the garden and stuff. So yeah, and then I sort of went from doing really small things on my own to then like wanting to work with other people and doing sort of like tasks that needed two people, to sort of taking, you know, a bit of a lead on some things and planting things from seed. And yeah, slowly my like independence and confidence grew over like the sort of 5 months that I went for.
Yeah, that's cool. And what was it like being around people with other mental health difficulties that weren't OCD and different diagnoses?
Yes, that I really actually enjoyed that experience. I think because, you know, I think mental health is such a broad term, but everyone, like at the group, you could always relate to somebody. You know, if they were talking about something, there were so many similar experiences, whether it was anxiety, depression, like a personality disorder, there were always things that you could kind of have in common. And also, you know, seeing people at different stages of their mental health recovery. So you had some people who had, you know, years and years of being in recovery and then were sort of continuing to work on it and, you know, having those ups and downs. And then you had some people who were very poorly and coming in, and then seeing them sort of get better over the, like, over the weeks that we were there, it kind of inspires you, I think, to maintain your recovery or to start it or whatever stage you're at. But it also really validated any experience that I was having. So there was no pressure to be okay, there was no pressure not to cry, there was no pressure, like, you know, to be happy. That, you know, it just felt very like a really accepting environment where you could just be you and you didn't have to put a face on, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, thank you for that. And you started off, you listed a couple of benefits there, but yeah, what did you mainly get out of it, or what did you learn, or how did it help?
Yeah, I learned so much. That was one thing I didn't expect to learn as much as I did from the time that I was there. You know, I learned about different types of soil and what you could plant in what, how to sort of grow things from seed and like the different stages and when to sort of put them in bigger pots and like loads of names of different trees and sort of how to look after them. And yeah, just loads of like actual gardening knowledge that I didn't have or didn't know that I would kind of learn, because lots of the volunteers had been gardeners for like years and years, so that was just everyone knew everything, which was amazing. So in terms of like, and because I wasn't working, I was missing out on that like learning part of life, really. So it was really nice to go there and to learn some new stuff, because it kind of kept me motivated to keep going and things. So that was one thing. Being outdoors was just amazing. Like, I really noticed the more I went to those groups, the more I then would come home and want to get back outdoors straight away. So before, whereas I'd be in the house a lot and sort of, you know, sitting around and not really doing a lot, I would then sort of go home and then think, oh, I really want to take the dog for a walk now. You know, even though I've been outdoors all morning, it was, you know, once the weather got nicer and stuff, I just wanted to be outdoors all the time and started working loads on my own garden. So yeah, it sort of really helped me get out, I guess, get out the house. So that's one other thing. Physically, it was really helpful as well, because you could do anything, but one thing I quite liked doing was like digging. So, you know, you're also getting like the physical benefits of it and releasing those endorphins, which helps your mental health as well. Like, mindfulness was another thing that I enjoyed about it. Like, we'd all sort of sit around the fire and just be quiet and watch the fire and have a cup of tea and you know, have food, and it felt very grounding. I didn't particularly obsess about things that I would have been obsessing about at home, because I felt sort of removed from it and in this sort of safe space of I'm here right now, and that's kind of what I can focus on. And then the last thing, which I really sort of have carried through, really, is like the sense of community that I got from it. Just turning up to the sort of same place every week with, you know, similar people, and everyone was sort of working on a particular project and they were really passionate about it. So, you know, we had the fruit and vegetable plot, and it was, you know, a massive sense of everyone's going to contribute, you know, in some way to this, and then we get to harvest it and then we get to eat it. And like, yeah, that was really amazing. And then there was another project running where people would design sort of like small areas of the land, and then we'd all work on you know, building. So there was like a Buddhist meditation garden being built, and there was a like an outdoor kitchen for one of the youth groups being built. So yeah, it was kind of that sense of lots of people doing something together to help themselves, but also to help other people. So yeah, that's something I really enjoyed.
Nice, thank you. Yeah, good list of benefits. So what would you, words of advice would you give people who maybe have access to one of these mental health gardening schemes near them, but maybe hesitant to go? Or another way of asking that question is, yeah, just what you would have wanted to know before you started.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I would have wanted to know that there wasn't pressure to talk about your mental health. There wasn't pressure to talk about how you were feeling that day. You know, it was, if you felt able to, it was encouraged, because, you know, talking can be very therapeutic. It didn't have to be, it wasn't like you sat in a group and went round and said how everybody was. It just wasn't like that. It was much more relaxed, laid back. So yeah, I think I would have been less anxious if I'd known that. Also that everybody there is in a similar situation. I think when you're struggling, you can feel very, very isolated and like you're the only one going through that particular thing. And I very quickly learned that there were so many other people struggling in similar ways. And that was, yeah, it's that sort of feeling of, it's like a feeling of going home, like you kind of feel accepted instantly. Yeah, and then I think, yeah, just the whole relaxed atmosphere, I didn't expect there to be as little pressure as there was. Like if you wanted to turn up and sit by the fire and just sit by the fire for 3 hours, you could do that. There was, you know, no commitment required. You didn't have to go every week. And there was no time limit as well, which I really liked, because obviously some services, you know, you can sort of go to 6 sessions and then sort of had your thing, which obviously has to be the way for sometimes because of limitations. But yeah, with the gardening groups, I know that it's usually sort of a drop-in service, so you can kind of come and go as you want. And you know, sometimes I would not go for 4 or 5 weeks and then turn up again, and it was like I, you know, had never not gone. So it was very, yeah, just very relaxed and very, yeah, an accepting environment to be in.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. And the one I went to in London, kind of similar to that. There was no pressure. It was super friendly and accommodating.
Yeah. I think everyone there is just really friendly and very passionate about what they're doing. They all love being in nature, you know. And yeah, it's just being surrounded by nature and being able to focus all your attention as much as you can on something that's real and that's in front of you is, yeah, I found it extremely helpful.
Cool. No, thank you for that. I got 2 more questions which are unrelated to this topic. So is there anything else that you would add on this?
Yeah, so I would just say that, because I know there's not a massive number of these garden mental health garden schemes out there, which is a shame. But there is something I came across the other day called Green Gym, which is, you can look it up online and you just basically look it up in your area. And it's not mental health focused, but it is sort of well-being focused. And it's basically a group of people in the community who want to look after a particular area. So it might be a national park or, you know, a forest or something. And they meet, I think it's once a month or something, as a group. Anyone can go along, and then it's similar stuff, like you can, you know, clear areas, do some weeding. Like it's basically the same, but maybe without as much of the mental health support. But if that's something that you're sort of interested in and looking for, then I'd kind of recommend trying one of those out.
Cool. Yeah. Is that the same sort of group that sometimes they go for a run and they pick up litter as they go?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like that. I think it's a bit different in that there's not as much like physical demands. Like it's, you sort of walk to an area and then do a bit of clearing, have a cup of tea and then go. I think it's, yeah, a bit like the gardening group, but more focused on a like area of a community that needs maintaining. Yeah.
Cool. No, that's a good suggestion as well. And yeah, the two examples, your one and the interview I did before this, Mind Food, is obviously UK focused, but I'm sure there are other initiatives globally.
Yeah.
And if not, gardening is something we can all do to varying degrees or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there are lots of allotments out there now. And I know sometimes there's community allotments that you can just sort of go and help out at. You don't actually have to commit to paying for your own allotment and stuff. So, yeah, there are some good things out there.
Cool. All right, brilliant. And then, so, pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self. What would you tell her?
Oh, God. This one always gets me. I think I would say that, like, it sounds cliche, but it does get better. Like, I never, ever, ever believed that, no matter what anyone said. And I, last year, really hit rock bottom and then have completely sort of lifted out of that. By no way do I think that, you know, it won't have its ups and downs, but in terms of the, you know, treatment that I sought out and the work that I put in, I would say, like, to myself, that that work is hard and horrible and sometimes feels like torture, but in the long term it is so, so worth it, and I would do it again if I had to. Yeah.
Yeah, good advice. And you're referring to ERP there, CBT.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. So you got a billboard. What do you want written on that billboard?
I don't want to write too much on it. Okay. I think I would write, your mental health matters, because I think people are starting to talk about mental health more and it's, you know, becoming more of a priority, but I think there's still a really long way to go in terms of society accepting it as something that everybody has to work on to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, whether you have a diagnosis or not, we all still have to look after our mental health just like we do our physical health. So yeah, I think I'd want people to kind of just be aware that it's out there. And yeah,
cool. All right, brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time and sharing your experience.
No problem.
So there you have it. Thank you for listening. I hope you found it interesting and a bit different from the usual episodes. Thank you to Lucy for her time and for Mind Food too. So the links to Mind Food will be on the website, theocdstories.com. And also thank you to Jess for sharing her story and her experience with mental health gardening. And quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It's not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. Until we speak, take care.